What up, what up, what up, ladies and gents, boys and girls, you are now tuned in to a brand new episode of Sportsway with Dre Day Podcast. I am your host with the most, the Hood's ESPN, Crystal Street's very own Dre Day. What's up, what's up, what's up? This is episode 309. Episode 309 of Sportsway with Dre Day Podcast. I want to thank everybody for their continued support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. This episode here. The WNBA Finals is over. It's complete. A new champion has been crowned. Well, technically a new champion has been crowned, but the same champion has been crowned, if you catch my drift. I'm also going to throw in some MLB talk because the Major League Baseball postseason has been going on as of late, and the LCSs have taken place, so I want to dive into a little bit of that. I don't want to dive too much into it. I want to dive a little bit into it, and let's see. There's a couple of other things I might want to possibly throw into this episode, but first, let's get down to the nitty gritty. Congratulations are in effect to the Las Vegas Aces. The Las Vegas Aces have won back-to-back WNBA championships. They won last year, I believe, in four games against the Connecticut Sun. And then last night, game four, in Barclays Center, they beat the New York Liberty by 1 point to clinch their second WNBA championship, being the third team in the history of the WNBA to go back-to-back to win championships back-to-back years. Now, the Minnesota Lynx, they have four championships, but they never were able to go back-to-back. Kind of like the San Antonio Spurs with the NBA. The San Antonio Spurs have five world championships, but they were never able to go back-to-back. The Minnesota Lynx also carry that distinction. There's only three teams in the history of the WNBA that have been able to go back-to-back. And that would be the Houston Comets that won the first four championships out the gate. The Los Angeles Sparks won, I believe, 2001 and 2002 back-to-back years. And now the Las Vegas Aces have won back-to-back from 2022 in 2023. So congratulations are in order to the Las Vegas Aces for doing this. Let me just say this. I enjoyed these WNBA finals. Again, I know it sounds like a broken record, but I have said it all year long. These were the two teams that were going to meet in the WNBA finals. This is what it was supposed to be. It was destiny that this happened. You had the two best teams. You had the two teams that people deemed as super teams. Both of these teams were bound to meet in the WNBA Finals, and Lord, did we get that. Now, we did get some injuries along the way. Obviously, Candace did not play the whole postseason. Now, there was some gamesmanship going around from Becky Hammon and the Aces. Like, you were getting reports that, hey, Candace might play game one. You know, she's been seen at practice in shorts, practicing with the team. So, it was a little gamesmanship going around with Vegas. Probably throwing it to the Liberty, like, you know, there's a chance Candace might play. Might get them off their game or whatnot, change their game plan or whatever. Then you heard rumblings, especially after the Aces losing Chelsea Gray and Kia Stokes in game three. which hurt me to the core because I remember watching that game and seeing Chelsea Gray get injured and seeing how long it took for her to get back on her feet and then to watch her limp to the locker room. And then you see a video of her struggling to walk and you had two trainers have to carry her to the Aces locker room. That shit hurt my soul seeing that because I love me some Chelsea Gray and I love how she plays the game of basketball to the point that she's been deemed as the point guard. And to see her in that much excruciating pain and seeing her struggle, I said to myself, yeah, she's done for this series. She's done. Even if this series goes 5 games, I doubt that she'll be back. And then you seen her, and then you seen videos of her riding the bike, you know, keeping one knee, you know what I'm saying, balanced while she's riding the boot, while she's riding the bike. And then you see Kia Stokes walking around with a boot. I'm saying to myself, they're probably done for the rest of the series. If this series was to go 5 games, they're probably done the whole series. They're probably done those last 2 games. So you have those two out already for Game 4 and possibly Game 5. For all intents purposes, you started hearing the rumblings that maybe Candace will play Game 4. Now, me personally, I was hoping she'd have played Game 4 because Game 4 was in Barclays. So I would have loved for her to be a part of that game. But unfortunately, she wasn't. And not to my surprise, I enjoyed watching Game 4. I enjoyed watching it at its entirety. Listen, I can imagine how it was in the building. I watched it on TV. I can imagine how Barclays was rocking because I remember in August when I went to the game, when these two teams played, and that place was rocking from beginning to end. Like, it felt like a championship game. It's like us in the building was preparing for the WNBA Finals. So I could just imagine how it was in Barclays for Game 3 and 4. And the Liberty started off the game the way they needed to. They started off on a great run. Like, if from the first half to the second, from the first half, the Liberty had the momentum. Third quarter came, the Liberty still had the momentum. It was like a boxing match where the Liberty took over the first portion of the match. Then when it came time to those championship rounds, which if you're a boxing fan, you know the championship rounds is 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Those are the championship rounds. Possibly 9, 10, 11, 12. Probably the last 4 rounds is the championship round. That's when the Aces kicked it into high gear. And that's when we saw Asia Wilson be the MVP that she is. Now, listen, we can sit here and be on some, should she have won the regular season MVP? Was Stewie the right person to get it? Me personally, I'm happy for Stewie for winning the MVP. I am. It's a regular season award. That shit could have went to either Stewie, Asia Wilson, or Alyssa Thomas. It could have went to either one of those three deserving women. I am not upset that Stewie won regular season MVP. But I could tell you who was upset, and that was Asia Wilson. Not saying that Stewie didn't deserve it, because if you look at the numbers, clearly she did. But Asia definitely had a case that she felt she should have won. And in Game 4, when her team needed her the most, because for all intended purposes, Jackie Young wasn't the best Jackie Young because she got hurt early in the game. Now, me personally, she sustained an injury where I thought she might have been done for the rest of the game. But, you know, luckily it wasn't nothing crazy. She was able to bounce back and jog it off a little bit and continue to stay in the game. But you can't tell me that didn't shake her up a little bit. You understand what I'm saying? Kelsey Plum was not the best Kelsey Plum in game four. Now, you also had players who didn't get as much playing time as before step up. Kayla George, who for all we know, rides the bench for the Aces. She showed up in that game. I believe she had about 11, 13 points. Every time she got that ball behind that three-point line, she pulled up. She wasn't even thinking about passing. She was pulling up. Sydney Coulson. Listen, we know her for doing her TikTok videos and shit like that. But when she steps on that court, she gives it her all. Yeah, she might have had 2 points. But she did make it difficult for Stewie. She made it difficult for Sabrina Ionescu. She kind of made it difficult for Vandersloot, even though she did have 5 fouls. But she did her job for the time that she was out there. You understand what I'm saying? This Aces team was very short. They only played 8 players. Only 8 players. Aisha Clark, listen. I thought she was going to fuck around and get a tech in this game. Because she was having an issue with the ref from the beginning of the game to the end of the game. I thought she might have got a tech. But back to Asia Wilson. When it was time to deliver, when the bumper met the road, and the Aces needed their star to bring them home and to close out this series, she did that. She did that. In the closeout game, last night, in the closeout game, Asia Wilson went to work. She went to work. She did exactly what she was supposed to do. 24 points and 16 rebounds in the closeout game. Again, Jackie Young, she had 16 points. But had it not been for that injury, she might have had 20 plus. You understand what I'm saying? I was very much impressed with that game from the Aces. Because again, like I said, when crunch time came, they turned it up a notch. They turned it up. As soon as that fourth quarter started, they knew. They was like, we're not trying to take this back home. We want to finish this now. Because see, for me, the end of that third quarter, for me, I felt the Liberty got too comfortable. I felt that they got too comfortable. I felt that they had this game in the bag. They thought it was over after the third quarter. And you can't do that. Not against this team. Not against this Aces team that is battle tested. And that's kind of like what the Liberty did. From the third quarter on, the Aces dominated. And they showed that championship pedigree. They showed it. Now, as far as the Liberty go, they have nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing to be ashamed of. Now, I will say this, though. There was 3 possessions in this game that I felt cost them this game. In the fourth quarter, Sabrina Ionescu had herself a Steph Curry moment. Do y'all remember in Game 7 in the 2016 NBA Finals where Steph Curry tried to get a little fancy with a pass and the pass went out of bounds? Sabrina Ionescu kind of had that type of moment where she threw an ill-advised pass and it went out of bounds. And what that did was that gave the momentum to the Aces, because at this point, the Aces mounted a comeback. And with you turning that ball over in that timely fashion, that just gave the momentum back to the Aces. That's one play. Stewie had probably her best shot the whole game behind the tray, and she didn't make it. Now, Stewie, only 10 points in this game. For you to be the regular season MVP and in a potentially closeout game, you only have 10 points is unacceptable. It's unacceptable. Stewie, you are one of the GOATs of the WNBA. One of. Your resume speaks volumes. Whether it was in college where you won all 4 years you were there, you never lost, you come to the WNBA, you win four championships, well, not really four championships because the Storm has four championships, you have two of them. Prior to this finals, you had never lost in a championship match. Whether it was in college, whether it was in the pros, or whether it was overseas, you had never lost, never lost in a championship match all round. And for you to have this type of performance, listen, if I'm going to praise you when you win, I got to get you when you lose. You got to be able to accept both. And this was unacceptable, Stewie. Now, yes, you did your thing on the boards. You got your 14 rebounds. You got your 5 assists. But shooting 3 for 17 from the field in a potential closeout game is unacceptable. Sabrina Ionescu, I got to throw some smoke your way too. 5 for 12 in a closeout game, unacceptable. Vandersloot did her thing, except for that last shot. Laney, I love you, Laney. I love you. You was non-existent in that second half. You was non-existent in that second half. You did your thing in that first half. But when it came to that second half, you was nowhere to be found. In fact, that final possession, when Stewie had the ball and the defense collapsed on her and she threw you that pass, you were supposed to take that three. That three was not supposed to be for Vandersloot. You were supposed to take that three. And you threw it away. But see, here's the thing. This is where experience in those situations come into play. There was only one player on that Liberty team, especially in that starting five and that closeout time, two players. Pardon self. I was getting ready to say only Stewie, but no. Vandersloot got that experience as well. Because she won a championship in 2021 with the Chicago Sky, with Candace Parker, I might add, but that's neither here nor there. Those two players have championship pedigree. Nobody else in that starting lineup had that pedigree. But Laney, you were supposed to take that three and deal with the consequences afterwards because you was having yourself a game. You was having yourself a game. But that second half, you were nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. I am very much proud of this Liberty team. They have nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing. Now, the New York in me wants to say, if you're going to lose, don't lose at home. That's the, like, if you're going to go out on the road. Lose on the road. You better not lose at home. But unfortunately, they wind up losing at home. And listen, they have nothing to be ashamed of. And the way the New York Liberty and the way the crowd embraced them afterwards, they got nothing to be ashamed of. We may be on the verge of multiple WNBA Finals matchups with these two teams. If these two teams can stay afloat, if both of these teams can continue to stay healthy and keep their teams intact and nobody leaves, we might be on the verge of possibly two or three more WNBA Finals matchups with these two teams. We just might. And I'm all for it. Because let me tell you something. The numbers have not even been announced yet for the WNBA Finals.
But I do know game one, game two, and game three, the numbers just went up as far as viewers. Whatever the numbers was for game one, it spiked up for game two. Whatever the numbers was for game two, it spiked up for game three. So I could just imagine what it was for game three. I can only imagine what the numbers was for game four. I am very much proud of this New York Liberty team. It's unfortunate that this was their fourth trip to the WNBA Finals, and now they're 0-4. It's unfortunate. Now, yes, they did win the Commissioner's Cup, yeah, but not the WNBA Championship. So the New York in me, listen, I'm proud of them. I'm proud of them. I'm very much proud of them. They have nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing to be ashamed of. Now, I'm sure they got to that locker room. A lot of them had their head in their legs, letting them tears flow. And that's normal. When you get to that big stage and you're that close to possibly getting this series to go to game five and you lose, you will get emotional. And I'm quite sure there were some Liberty players in that locker room that definitely let those tears flow, but they got nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing at all. Nothing. I am very much proud of them. Very much proud of them. And I'm hoping that they can keep this team afloat. I hope nobody leaves. I hope everybody stays. Because if so, we will be seeing this again. We will for sure see this again. Because I enjoyed the finals. Even though game one and game two were pretty much wipeouts from the Aces, the Liberty came back in game three and said, okay, y'all not going to sweep us. Now, they lost in the gentleman's sweep 3-1. But again, they have nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing whatsoever. They have nothing to be ashamed of. I'm very much proud of the New York Liberty. I am very much proud of them. Very much proud of them. Now, back to the Aces. Asia Wilson has been in the league, I believe, since, I'm not even sure how long she's been in the league. Let me check Asia Wilson's stats so far. Since 2018, she has been in the WNBA. That's 5 seasons. She has 2 WNBA championships. She has two WNBA Finals MVPs. She's back-to-back Defensive Player of the Years. She won last year and this year. Multiple All-Star appearances. 3-time All-WNBA First Team. Her resume is already legendary. And she's only in year 5. Only in year 5. And her resume is already legendary. Chelsea Gray, she now has 3 championships. She won one in 2016 with the Sparks, with Candace Parker. We're going to get into that soon. She won last year with the Aces. And now she's a 3-time champ, even though she didn't play in game 4. Kelsey Plum is now a two-time WNBA champion. Jackie Young is now a two-time WNBA champion. Becky Hammon, in her second year as the head coach for the Aces, is a two-time WNBA champion. But you know I had to save the best for last. You know I had to save the best for last. You know I had to save the best for last. My boo. My baby. Candace Parker is now a three-time WNBA champion. She is the only player in the history of the WNBA to have three championships with three different teams. 2016 with the Sparks, 2021 with the Sky, and now 2023 with the Aces. Now, yes, we know she did not play basically since, what, June or July? She hasn't stepped on the court. But she still won the championship. She's still a champion. Now, yeah, she might have been practicing with the team, but she didn't get back on the court. But at the end of the day, she has been with this team throughout the whole postseason. She's been behind the bench, motivating the teammates. I've even seen videos where she was even coaching. Becky Hammon was playing it back. Chelsea Gray was coaching at times, and Candace was coaching at times. So now my girl is a three-time WNBA world champion. And I love it. Proud, proud of her. I love it. 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 I am very much proud of the Aces. I am very much proud of the Liberty. I am very much proud of both of these teams. Hell, I'm proud of the WNBA season as a whole. I am very proud of the basketball that these women displayed this season. I'm just very much proud. And to think that you had the all-NBA first team. You got Stewie on there. You got Alyssa Thomas. You got Asia Wilson. You got Nafessa Collier. And you got Satu Sabali on the first team. Then on the second team, you got Nneka Awumake. You got Jackie Young. You got Chelsea Gray. You got the Gold Mamba, Joel Lloyd. Then you got Sabrina Ionescu. Like, this was an amazing season of basketball for the WNBA. Just an amazing season. Just an amazing season. And as a fan who has been since the WNBA's existence, I can't be no more proud. And it's only going to go up from here. It's only going to go up. It's only going to go up because think, the 2024 WNBA draft, just think of the names that is on that draft board. If they don't stay in college for that extra year of eligibility due to the COVID pandemic. Man, oh man, oh man, the future is going to be bright, I tell you. Bright. It is going to be bright for the WNBA. Caitlin Clark. Paige Beckers. Angel Reese. Flo J, if she stays. Haley, if she stays. Man, listen, man, like, there's some names that I'm missing right now. The two girls from Virginia Tech. It's so many names that I'm missing right now. Forgive me. But the future is bright for the WNBA, man. Trust me when I tell you. So, for all you haters out there that constantly got something to say about the WNBA, for all you hating ass niggas that stay talking shit about these women, but I bet you if you stepped on the court with them, they'll bust your ass. For all of y'all that continue to hate, keep it going. Don't try to jump on the bandwagon when this shit really pop off, because it's only going to go up from here. It's only going to go up from here from the WNBA. The future is bright. Trust me when I tell you. Trust me when I tell you the future is bright. But before I get off this, I do have one hiccup from game four. And I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it. I had to speak on this. One of my friends sent me a video of Jim Jones and Joel Santana performing at the halftime. And all I can say to myself is, these brothers didn't learn nothing from that ass whooping that the Locks gave them at the Versus. They didn't learn a lesson. They didn't learn. Joel Santana looked over, like he looked all fat and bubbly. You understand what I'm saying? With his jersey on. I guess his earpiece, he couldn't get it in his ear, pause. He was struggling to keep it in his ear. And from what I deciphered from watching the video, these brothers was lip syncing still. Now, for those of y'all that watched that Versus a few years ago, did or did not Jadakiss tell these niggas stop lip syncing? Did he or did he not say that? I could have swore he did. But these two were still doing it. Embarrassing. Just embarrassing. Freaky Zeke doing what he does best, being the hype man, looking like a damn fool. I mean, I respect the grind. Like you a hype man. That's what you're supposed to do. But I'm like, yo, y'all didn't learn nothing from that ass whooping from that Versus? Where's the showmanship? Where's the rock in the crowd? Like, come on, man. Y'all didn't learn nothing from that Versus? Nothing at all. Man, oh man, oh man. But other than that, again, congratulations to the Las Vegas Aces on being back-to-back WNBA champions. Congratulations to the New York Liberty on having an amazing WNBA season. Nothing to be ashamed of at all. Nothing to be ashamed of. Congratulations to the WNBA as a whole for an amazing, amazing season. Amazing season. And again, it's only going up from here. It's only going up from here. These women can ball. They got game. Watch them work. Equal play, equal pay. That is the motto for the WNBA. And I'm all for it. I'm all for it. So again, congratulations to the Aces for winning back-to-back championships. Congratulations to the Liberty. Congratulations to the WNBA as a whole. Give it up for the ladies. Simple and plain. I can't express it enough. Can't express it enough. Now, with that being said, I have to go to something that I'm not too thrilled to speak about, and that would be Coach Prime and the Colorado Buffaloes. their last outing was very, very disappointing. To think that you had a 29-0 lead going into halftime, and then to lose that game in the fashion that they lost, downright embarrassing. Now, I'll be the first to admit, I'm still supporting Coach Prime. Still. Even with them losing this game, I am still on board. But for them to have a 29-0 lead going into the third quarter, they got too comfortable. Too comfortable. Now, Shador Sanders, I don't know if this was you or somebody that had your phone while you were in, while, you know, it was halftime. I don't know who thought it was right to promote merch during halftime of a football game. I have no idea who co-signed that. And to think that Tom Brady is your mentor, that ain't something that Tom Brady would have co-signed. Nothing at all. Now, it was good to see Travis Hunter back out there. It was good to see him back out there. But unfortunately, I got to say this. I got to say it. I honestly think that it may be time for him to only play one side of the ball. He's taking too many snaps. He's taking too many snaps out there. Too many. He's taking too many snaps. I honestly think he might have to soon start playing one side of the ball. And to think, like, honestly, this was the game that I felt Colorado had to win. They had to win this game. They had to. Because they had the nail biter last week against Arizona State, winning that by a field goal. Then you get this home game. Now you got UCLA coming up next week. Then you got Oregon State the following weekend. Then you got Arizona. Then you got Washington State. Then you got Utah. This was the game here that I felt they should have won. When they had that 29-0 lead, you do not give that up. And all of my years of watching college football, and I've been watching it for many years, I don't recall a team losing a 29-point lead in college football. Now, in the pros, maybe, because I actually think, I don't know if it was the Colts and Vikings last year where that happened, where it was a big lead and the team came back and won. Now, obviously, we all know about the Falcons-Patriots Super Bowl with the 28-3 lead. That was a 25-point lead. I get that. But, shit, 29-0? And you let them come back and win? Now, yeah, it took two overtimes for them to win. But the game should have been over at halftime. But they got too cocky. They got too arrogant. And they let Stanford back in the game. Stanford went back out there and said, listen, I don't know what they said in that locker room. I don't know who spoke in that locker room, but whoever it was that spoke in that locker room, I give them the absolute props. Because usually when a team down like that, they just pack it up and say, all right, we'll get ready for next week. Not Stanford. Now, mind you, prior to this game, they were 1-4. More of a reason for Colorado to win this game. more of a reason for them to be. Listen, Colorado is supposed to be 5-2 right now. They're supposed to be 5-2 right now. The two losses going into next week should have been what it should have been. Oregon and USC. They had no business losing to the Stanford team. No business. And then now this weekend, well, not this weekend, next weekend, because this weekend they got a bye. So who knows? That's more of a reason on why they should have won this game. Because now you go into the bye, you get that extra week, and then you can get ready for UCLA. Because now you got this week off, and now when you do play UCLA, now the pressure's on for you to win that game. Because you now, because you don't want your record to be 4-4 going up against Oregon State. Because I love Coach Prime, and I love what he's doing in Colorado, but they're not beating Oregon State. They're just not. Like, the rest of their schedule, I can honestly say, in my honest opinion, they got one more win the rest of the season. They got one more win. They got one more win. Maybe two. Maybe two. I can see, listen, I can see them pulling the upset against UCLA. I can see them pulling that upset. I can also see them beating Arizona. Oregon State, they're not winning. Washington State, I don't know. Maybe they could win that too. Utah, they're not winning. So these last four games, These last five games that they got, I can see them possibly winning two or three of them. I can see them pulling the upset against UCLA. I can see them beating Arizona, and I can see them beating Washington State. They're not beating Oregon State, and they're not beating Utah. So if they can somehow get six wins this season. If they can somehow get six wins this season, if they can somehow have a 6-6 record to end this season, that's a success. That's a successful season for them. If they can win, if they can have a 500 record. But only time will tell. Only time will tell.
But I honestly think that they got
too big for their bridges. I think they got too carried away. I think they got too cocky. I think they got too arrogant. And now they're getting a if they didn't get a piece of that humble pie after losing that game against Stanford, I don't know when they'll receive it. Because that game will humble the shit out of me. Not only did you have a 29-0 lead, but you lost at home. You had this game in the bag at home, and you lost. Now, if that don't humble you, I don't know what will. I honestly don't know what will. So I hope that humbled them. I really hope it did. They got this week off. They get back on the field next weekend. Hopefully, we see a better Colorado team, because they have been very inconsistent for quite some time, and they need to get it together. They truly need to get it together. Next, we got some MLB talk. Now, we are at the LCS mark of the postseason, which is the American League and National League Championship Series. Basically, the final four. We have the Phillies and the Diamondbacks and in the National League, and we have the Rangers and the Astros in the American League. Now, me personally, I have been watching here and there. I'm not going to sit here and say that I have been watching the postseason from the wild card to now, because I'll be lying on my ass. But I will say this, though. The Atlanta Braves and the Los Angeles Dodgers, very much disappointing. For both of those teams that had the season that they had in the National League, and for both of them to get bounced in the playoffs the way that they did is downright embarrassing. The Atlanta Braves, two straight years, lost to the Philadelphia Phillies in four games. They have owned the Braves in two straight postseasons. I believe the Dodgers got swept by the Arizona Diamondbacks. Major disappointment. Because now what that does is, that championship they won in 2020, remember when in the bubble, you can say, a lot of people was questioning the Dodgers now. Because that's the only championship they won. They obviously, they didn't win in 2021. Obviously, they didn't win last year. And then now, three straight years since that one championship, they haven't done anything. Now, the Braves, on the other hand, best record for most of the season. Acuña Jr. is probably going to win National League MVP. And for them to get bounced in four games in this postseason to the Philadelphia Phillies is downright disappointing. But the Phillies right now is striking when the pot is hot. They're striking while the pot is hot. They lead their series right now 2-0 against the Arizona Diamondbacks. I can see them winning this in 4 or 5 games because they have all the momentum. They have all the momentum. Game 1, they won 5-3. Game 2, they shut them out 10-0. And now they're going to have 3 games in Arizona. This series is not going back to Philly. Mark my words. This series is not going back to Philly. The Phillies will close this out in either 4 or 5 games. You can book it. Mark my words. The Texas battle. You have the Texas Rangers and the Houston Astros. Now, listen. If you have been a supporter of Sports Where We Dre Day podcast, you would know that I hate the Houston Astros. If it's one thing I hate, it's cheaters. And the Houston Astros have cheated their way to some of their championships. We all know it. We all remember the shit from a few years ago with them beating trash cans and having recordings, right? We all remember that shit from a few years ago. And ever since then, they have been a thorn on my side when it comes to the postseason. To the point that last year, they won another World Series championship. But now they find themselves stuck in a hard place. Well, not really, because I believe game 3 was yesterday and they won that game. But I will say this, though. For them to be battle-tested the way that they are, now, yes, they did lose game 1 and they did lose game 2. And it just so happened they lost in their building, which doesn't really happen as much. If you lose, especially if you're defending world champions. If you're defending world champions and you lose those first 2 games in your house, you don't win that series. You just don't do it. Now, there have been teams that have lost 2 games at home. The first 2 games at home and then come back to win the series. My Yankees did it in 96. But see, they weren't defending champions when they did it. The Houston Astros, on the other hand, are. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say I want them to win this series because I don't. I just told you I hate them. Nothing will make me feel more great than those bastards don't make the World Series. Now, listen, the Texas Rangers have been on some shit all season. Unless you're a Texas Ranger fan, if you said that you, before the season started, unless you're a Texas Ranger fan, if you said that you would see them in the ALCS around this time, you're lying. You're lying. Because I don't even think their own fans believe that shit. So for them to have the season that they're having right now, mind you, Jacob DeGrom was injured. Not was, is injured. They paid him all this money. And around the summer, he wound up getting hurt, out for the rest of the year. They traded for Max Scherzer from the Mets. He wound up getting hurt. He made his comeback in the playoffs in game three. Didn't have a good outing. But the point is this. They did all of that. Had some growing pains after the All-Star break. To the point where the Astros gained momentum and took the division away from them. When it looked like they was going to win the division. And then now they see themselves in the ALCS. I am hoping for a Rangers-Phillies World Series. I do not want the Astros making this World Series. I truly don't. I truly don't. Because the Phillies is going on their end. That's a foregone conclusion. It's just a matter of, is they going to do it in four games or are they going to do it in five? It's that simple. It's that simple. But before I go, I got some shout-outs to give out. I have to shout out the Lady Hawkeyes of Iowa women's basketball. Yes, the team that Caitlin Clark is on. 55,000 fans showed up to a basketball game that they was given. They was playing it on the Iowa football field. 55,646 people were in attendance. That is a record for NCAA women's basketball. You can thank Caitlin Clark for that. I don't think that happens without her on that team. Without her on that program. I don't see that happening. I honestly don't. But what I really loved about it was the way that they had the stadium set up, the way they had the court set up. After the game, I don't know if it was before the game or after the game. There's a children's hospital right there where the basketball court was set up. I don't know if it was before the game or after the game. I think it was before the game. You had the Iowa Hawkeyes, the Lady Hawkeyes, waving to the kids through their window. Now, that hospital is for kids fighting illnesses. I'm not sure if it's a cancer hospital or anything like that, but it's definitely a hospital for kids that are dealing with illnesses, terminal illnesses, illnesses in general. And for them to take their time before the game even start or even for the game to end, I'm assuming it was before the game started, and for them to wave at those kids, I ain't even gonna lie, it touched me. It truly did. So I definitely want to commend the women Hawkeyes of Iowa. I want to commend Caitlin Clark because, listen, even though this was an exhibition, 34 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists. A triple-double. She's in rare form, and the season hasn't even started yet. It has not started yet. And she already on the tear. Already. I also want to shout out Angel Reese. And the reason I'm shouting out Angel Reese is because she inked a new NIL deal with Reebok. And it just so happened that Shaq and Allen Iverson have now joined the fold. And that was their first acquisition, now that they're the president and vice president of Reebok. And they signed Angel Reese. She is just seeing money. She is in no rush to get to the WNBA. None whatsoever. But I'm hoping that next year she goes. I'm hoping next year she goes. But again, you know, with that fifth eligibility because of COVID, you know, they're entitled to a fifth year of eligibility if they choose to do it. I'm kind of hoping that all of these women go to the WNBA, because I'm telling you, this draft class is going to be something. If all lines up, if all else lines up, this shit gonna be crazy, man. It is going to be something. It's going to be something. I'm telling you right now. It's going to be something. So only time will tell. Only time will tell. But Georgia Amore is her name. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Elizabeth Keatley. I think those are the two star players for Virginia Tech. I think they both have an opportunity to leave at the end of this year. I can see them doing some damage in the WNBA as well. I do. I truly do. Truly do. Oh, man. Can't wait. Cannot wait. I cannot wait for this upcoming NCAA women's basketball season. I ain't even gonna lie to you. I'm more excited for the women's side than I am the guys. I ain't even gonna lie. I am very much excited for this upcoming season of women's college basketball than I am the guys. I'm not even gonna hold you. Not gonna hold you. LSU, so far, for the preseason ranking is number one. Connecticut is number two. Iowa's number three. Utah is four. No, UCLA is four, pardon self. Utah is five. South Carolina is six. I'm sure Dawn Staley got something to say about that one. Ohio State is number seven. Virginia Tech, number eight. Indiana, number nine. And to round out the top 10 is Notre Dame. I'm very much looking forward to this upcoming season of women's college basketball. I am not going to hold you. But those are the shout-outs for this episode. Now, of course, I have brung back Would You Rather. I have brought it back. So here is the question
for Would You Rather before I wrap up this episode. Would you rather? Would you rather be single for a year? This includes no dating.
Or go on bad dates for a year straight. That is the question. Would you rather? Would you rather be single for a full year? This includes no dating. Or go on bad dates for a year straight. This is a tough one. I mean, listen, I've been single for 2 years now, but I have gone on some dates. I have gone on some dates, but to go on a bad, but go on bad dates for a year straight, I don't know, man. I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could do that. Go on bad dates for a year straight. I don't know, man. I don't know. This is a hard one. This is a hard one. Because see, me being the single guy that I am, I have to be able to go out here and there. I have to be able to go out here and there. Whether it's a good date or a bad one, I gotta be outside. I can't be stuck in the crib all year long. So for me, I'll go on the bad dates for a year straight. I'll do that. I've had my share of bad dates. I've had my share. So I would rather the bad dates for a year as opposed to being single for a whole year and you can't date at all. Nah, I'd rather the bad dates for a year straight. But there you have it. There you have it. It's a wrap for this episode. Listen, man, I want to thank y'all for y'all continued support. Keep it going, keep it flowing. Y'all can find me on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean, Amazon Music. Y'all can also find me on Facebook, Dre Day. Y'all can find me on Instagram, Dre Day 1985. The link is in the bio. You can also find me on X. And also, as an aside, you can also find me on YouTube. I have a YouTube channel, Sportsway with Dre Day Podcast. Hit that subscribe button. I am going to start doing videos. What I will do is I will take a segment from this episode or any future episode. I will take a segment from an episode and exclusively have a video on my YouTube channel on that per se segment. I'm not going to do a full episode and have a video. I will take a segment from that respective episode, do a video, and put it on my YouTube channel. So it's no secret that this episode is no secret on what segment I'm going to do for that one, for this one. But just to let y'all know that your boy does have a YouTube channel, Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast, hit that subscribe button. I'm close to 100. You know what I mean? I ain't got no crazy numbers, but I'm close to 100. But needless to say, yes, your boy has a YouTube channel. It's time that I start doing some visuals as well. So support your boy. Show love to your boy. Hit that subscribe button, the Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. Just like you're a supporter of this podcast on the audio side, cross over and be a supporter on the visual as well. So once again, thank y'all for y'all support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. In closing, y'all know how this goes. This has been another episode of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. Once again, I want to thank y'all for y'all continued support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. Catch y'all on the flip side. God bless. Peace and love. Your boy is out of here. Peace.
What up? What up? What up? Hold up. Hold up. Hold up. Hold up. Stop the phone. Stop the presses. Again, I told y'all, I've been having fun with this bonus shit, right? There've been some episodes where I had to throw a little bonus stuff in here. And I had to go back to some bonus stuff as it pertains to this WNBA, right? And one person in particular, and that's Aja Wilson. Aja Wilson joins Candace Parker and Lauren Jackson as the only players in the history of the WNBA to be a number one draft pick. Now, remember, that's the key to be a number one draft pick. Lauren Jackson was a number one draft pick. Candace was a number one draft pick, and so was Aja Wilson. All three of them have won a Defensive Player of the Year award, have won a league MVP, and has won finals MVP. All three of them. Just legendary. Just legendary. Just legendary. And that class that she's in, she is in the elite class. Y'all already know how I feel about Candace, okay? But Lauren Jackson was no slouch. And I truly believe, and this is an aside. Listen, when we talk about GOATs in the WNBA, when we talk about the greats in the WNBA, I don't know, but for some reason, Lauren Jackson's name is not mentioned as much as it should be. As it should be. Lauren Jackson was a problem in the WNBA. You understand what I'm saying? She was a problem in the WNBA. Don't get it fucked up. Do not get it fucked up. That woman averaged 19 and 8 for that matter. Multiple championships with the Seattle Storm. One of the greatest players the WNBA has ever seen. Three-time MVP. Seven-time All-Star. Again, two-time WNBA champion and a Hall of Famer. I just had to put some respect on Lauren Jackson's name. I just felt it in my soul to do it, because when we talk about the GOATs of the WNBA, when we talk about the great players that has blessed the WNBA, her name, for some reason, gets lost in the translation, and I was not going to allow that to happen. That woman dominated in two countries. She dominated here in the U.S., and she dominated in her home country of Australia. Winning championships and winning MVPs. Put some respect on Lauren Jackson's name. But again, Aja Wilson, an elite conversation. Elite. Just think, 5 years she's been in the league, and her resume is already legendary. Already legendary. But there you have it. That is the bonus material for this episode. Now I'm done. Catch y'all on the flip side. God bless. Peace and love. Your boy is out of here. One more thing. Give my girl Aja her own sneaker. It is time. It is time that she has her signature sneaker. It's time. Now, I'm not hating on Sabrina Ionescu. I love Sabrina Ionescu. I'm proud of the accomplishments that she has done so far in her young WNBA career. I am very proud of her. She is one of my favorite players in the league. You could make a case that she's my fourth favorite player. Everybody know Candace is one, Aja is two, Stewie is three, Sabrina is four. She don't have no championships under her belt. She don't have no MVPs under her belt. She has her own signature shoe. With the resume that Aja got, why she don't have her signature shoe yet? And I think now, after this performance in the WNBA Finals, I think some of these sneaker brands need to be ringing her phone off the hook. Listen, LeBron says that that's his little sister. Who he with? Nike, right? Get your girl, get your little sister. Well, I'm not saying you get her her own signature sneaker. She can get it on her, she can get it on her own, but it's time for her to get one. It's time for her to get one. You understand what I'm saying? It's time for her to get her own sneaker. It's time for her to get her own signature sneaker. Let's make it happen. Hashtag Asia Wilson signature sneaker. Hashtag it. All right, that's it. Time to go. Time to bounce. No more bonus. It's time to go.
What up, what up, what up? It's your man Dre Day, and I have a PSA announcement for y'all. Did y'all know that only 38% of African Americans were able to identify financial terms on the PFN index, an annual financial survey? Why is that? Because we're never given the tools to succeed in the financial sector. Will with American Classic Agency has been designing financial maps for his clients to succeed for over a decade for clients on both coasts. With Will, you will be able to create a game plan to get out of debt and create the wealth that you and your family deserve. If you're interested, please contact Will at willspady@gmail.com. That's willspady@gmail.com. Or call him at 443-810-0384.